This is the West Concord Sermon Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you receive a blessing from today's message.
For those of you looking online, welcome to the Church of Perpetual Light. I am your pastor, Dr. Moondoggy. Doesn't this look like the 70s? I know somebody online's already going, honey, that ain't right. Get another video. No, well, welcome to West Concord. We're excited about Vacation Bible School, because we're going to see if God will shine the light of His Word and His presence in our lives this week. I want to encourage you, if you're not already signed up, sign up. If you hadn't planned to come and you can be here, come and be here, because it's going to be a great week as we open up the Word of God to as many people as possible. We're going to open up the Word of God this morning, and we're back in the book of Romans. And we're going to be in chapter 8 this morning. Last week in chapter 7, a very ponderous chapter, we began the section, or continued the section, on living a sanctified life. Paul tells us in the book of Romans that yes, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The tragedy of our sin is horrendous. In chapters 4 and 5, he takes us to the remedy of that sin, salvation by faith in Christ. And for the next several chapters, we've been looking at living a life that is sanctified, an old church term which literally means set apart. It comes from the same root word as the word holy. Because even though we were sinners, Christ died for us, and in His death He purchased us, and then through faith in Him, He has set us free, and in a sense now we belong to Him. And salvation, as we've already made clear, is more than just having a home in heaven later. It's about living for Him and with Him now. A life that is set apart. But as we saw last week in chapter 7, that's a tough life sometimes. Because Paul revealed the conflict that goes on between our flesh and the Holy Spirit in which we've been dwelt. Wherein we've been dwelt. God has given us spiritual ability, companionship, comfort, but more often than not, our flesh gets in the way. Paul himself even revealed his own personal conflict. He struggled with doing right and didn't struggle enough with doing wrong. And he finally said at the end of chapter 7, "Who will remove me from this body of death?" And of course, he gives the answer, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you a quote from John Whitmer, who is a theologian, a commentator. He said, "The question naturally arises, must a believer spend his or her whole life on earth frustrated by ongoing defeats to indwelling sin?" Is that our call? We just have to live frustrated because what we want to do, we don't do because of indwelling sin? He goes on to say, is there no power provided to achieve victory? How do we live a victorious life? How do we win? Well, he said the answer to the first question is no. We don't have to be that frustrated. And the answer to the second question is yes, He has provided power and ability. He says in chapter 8, where we're going to be this morning, Paul described the ministry of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, who is the source of divine power for sanctification, living a life set apart for God, and the secret for spiritual victory in daily living. And so, yes, it is difficult in this world as a believer to walk with the Lord at times. And the problem is, because when we got saved, we still kept these bodies. We're still in this shell. And the Bible says the root of sin is pride, and the root of pride is the flesh. And we are in an ongoing tug of war between the things of the world and the flesh and the things of God. And every day brings us to that conflict. Every day brings us to moments, and I put an S on that, moments of decision.
Yes, if you're saved, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to heaven one day. That is something to get excited about, to celebrate. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. And until we get there, what do we do? Well, that's what chapter 8 is going to share with us. In chapter 8, Paul talks about our spiritual liberty. Paul talks about the fact that we can actually live free. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 1. And Paul's going to show us something very pivotal and important. He says in verse 1 of chapter 8, "There is therefore, based upon all that we learned in chapter 7, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." What's Paul going to tell us about here? He's going to share with us that through faith in Christ concerning sin, and yes, past sins, present sins, and future sins, we have been acquitted. We've been acquitted. We've been justified. In other words, we've been saved, and now sin no longer accrues to our account. In other words, it'd be like going before a judge with a speeding ticket or traffic ticket, and the judge looking at the ticket, and yes, you're guilty, but we're going to go ahead and drop the charges. You ever been there? I haven't. I haven't met that judge yet in this world. But can you imagine how you would feel? How great that would be? And not only am I dropping the charges, the judge would say, but I'm going to go ahead and pay your fine for you. That is what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. We literally, spiritually are acquitted of our sins. That is our liberation. Through faith in Christ, not only are we given a heavenly home, but we are given the power and the potentiality to be set free or liberated from sin. Paul made the case in chapter 7, sin no longer has dominion over us. Sin no longer technically has power over us. If you're a believer in Christ, literally you've died in Christ, and God has given you and I a new heart, a new nature, and has liberated us from the dominance of sin. In other words, yes, you do have a choice. You can say no. And now you've got the Spirit of God dwelling in you to enable and empower that choice. Why? Our liberation is based upon our liberator. Look what it goes on to say in verse 2. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh." What he's saying is keeping religious law, keeping commandments, keeping moral statutes, all of those things, whether they're Jewish commandments, Muslim, any Buddhist command, any other religion. It's weak. Why is the law weak? Not in and of itself, but because we are weak. You'd have to be perfect to be saved by the law. You'd have to keep it perfectly. None of us are. None of us can. In the weakness of the law, in our weakness, God took care of that by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, God took on a human body. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You've gotten liberation. When you got saved, you were set free because you have Jesus Christ, the liberator. He did what religion cannot do. He did what moral living cannot do. Moral living is right and good. We should live correctly and morally, of course. But not to be saved, but because we are, to give glory to God. Jesus Christ has done what you and I could never do or ever hope to do. He has saved us. Oh, Pastor, you believe again in easy believism. I believe that salvation is simple. As Paul called it in 1 Corinthians, I believe in the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is that again? That is, you and I are sinners. Broken, lost, fallen. Unable to save ourselves, but Jesus took on flesh. God came in flesh. He lived a perfect life. He died. He was buried, rose again from the dead. And by dying on that cross and rising again, salvation has been secured. And he offers it, as Paul said in chapter 6, as a gift. As a gift to be received by faith. And the moment you do that, you're set free. Because Christ has done what you cannot do. Christ has done what religion cannot do for you. He is our liberator. He has set us free. He goes on to say in verse 5, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the thing of the flesh. We get caught up in this world, but we forget that our liberation has been secured. Our liberator is Christ, and we are now at liberty. We are free. Stop and let that sink in a minute. You know, my wife is a teacher. She works as a teacher's aide at one of the schools in Charlotte. She is off this summer. Through the year, school year, we have to get up at 5:30 a.m. for her to be at school on time. And then she leaves and goes to school, and she's running around all day, and then she comes home 4:30, 5 o'clock, exhausted. And she does that throughout the fall and the spring, and then summer comes. And that first morning, she does not have to wake up at 5:30 and go to the school. You know why? She's free. She's free. How many students understand what I'm talking about? She's free. She's been liberated. We just went through yesterday commemorating D-Day.
82 years ago, June 6, 1944, the combined armies, navies, and air corps of the Allied forces invaded the coasts of France to liberate Europe from the Nazi tyranny, to free them. And it was hard fought. It was difficult. God bless those men and those women who went through and did what they needed to do to set free a people. And you read after World War II was over, after the spring of 1945, how difficult it was for these people to acclimate themselves to that freedom. Yeah, the day after school was out, guess what? We still woke up at 5:30. Because we were acclimated to that. Felt funny not having to rush out of the house at 7 a.m. Imagine being French or some of the folks in Europe. You've been oppressed for years, and now you can go down the street without having to look for one of those men in black uniforms. Imagine being a European Jew and you're free now to go to the synagogue and worship without having to be molested and carried off. Imagine acclimating again to that freedom. Listen, when you and I get saved, yes, we've been acquitted spiritually. But until we are in our heavenly home, until we are with the Lord in heaven, we need to become spiritually acclimated to this new circumstance. You've been set free. Christ is the liberator. You now have liberty to say no to sin, to live completely for Him. But that involves acclimation. Let me reread this sentence in verse 5. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." In other words, when you've been so caught up in the world, so closed into your flesh prison, that's what you were acclimated to. That's what I was acclimated to. We followed the world's cultures. We followed the world's fashions. We followed the promptings and the desires of our flesh because that's what we were. We had no other choice in a sense. But then when we got saved, God's Spirit came to dwell within us. Check Ephesians 1:13. We were sealed with Him. And now we're free of that. We are now free to choose something better. We are now free to live in the way God intended us to live. But if our minds are still focused on this world, If our thoughts are still captive to the desires of our flesh, yeah, we're going to be acclimated to the flesh. That's the one who is acclimated to the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they're acclimated to the things of the Spirit. See, when you get saved, yes, you're saved by grace through faith. But then once you're saved, it's time to develop a new mindset. Holiness doesn't just become automatic. We think because somebody's a Christian, they're perfect. Yeah, have you ever had somebody say that to you? Well, you're a Christian. How come you're doing that? You're a Christian. How come you say that? There's that kind of idea in the world that just because somebody says they're a Christian, that everything's hunky-dory, that everything's good, that everything's perfect. Or maybe because we're a Christian, everything should go our way. How's that working for you? Okay. Everything should go our way. Everything should fall into line. But the reality is, once we're saved, that's just the first step. Then we need to begin to acclimate our minds to a new mindset. Instead of focusing on the world and on the flesh, we focus on the Word and the Spirit of God. We talked about that in the last couple of chapters, referring to yielding to God's Spirit. Again, let me repeat that formula we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Spiritual maturity, sanctification, is simply this. It is time, yes, getting saved and then taking time, but yieldedness figures into that. Time plus yieldedness is what makes spiritual maturity. What does yieldedness mean? It means that we begin to fill our hearts and minds with Scripture, with the Word, and then we yield to the Spirit as He leads us in that Word, as we walk in the counsel of God's Word. That's why it's so important to spend time in Scripture daily. That's why it's so necessary to memorize the Word of God. When I was in Bible college, when I was a young man, one of the things they did that just annoyed the daylights out of us was every class we took had us memorize anywhere between 5 and 15 Bible passages a day. Because whenever we went into class, we sat down, and the very first thing we did was take the memory quiz. And we had to write out those passages. And then we had to grade them. And that was part of our grade. And when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, that's a pain in the neck. Especially when you're sitting next to the guy who grades very rough. He likes perfection. He wasn't perfect, but that's what he expected. But I think, man, why we got to, and we'd memorized, I'd walk around with 3x5 cards because this was before we had phones and digital things. And we'd have to look at those cards and memorize and memorize and memorize. And I thought, what is this? But now looking back, glory to God they did that. Because I was able to memorize so many passages. And whenever I was faced with decisions in life, I had those passages already in my mind. And I can choose the things of God. We need to fill our minds with the Word of God as believers. Because if we are acclimated in the flesh, Paul says that equals death. Let's look at that. He says, for to be carnally minded, the word carnal literally means just the flesh, to be fleshly minded is death. The word death there in the Greek is the word thanatos. And it's best described as separation. When you and I die physically, the material aspect of our existence stays here. They take us, they were cremated, we're buried, whatever. The spiritual aspect goes off into eternity, separated. Before we knew Christ as Savior, we were spiritually separated from God. We were literally walking zombies. But now we're saved, we're safe, but we're still in these bodies. Everything done in the flesh, everything done for the flesh, everything that is earth-centered, world-centered, when we die, it dies. In other words, everything that appeals to our desires, our wants, not all of them are bad, but when it becomes the motivator in our lives, it becomes a problem. Because listen, everything that you touch isn't going to heaven with you. Everything in your life that you see isn't going to heaven with you. All of these things, all these material things, anytime we focus on the world, the flesh, it's going to end up dead. So when we are acclimated as believers to still think in the respect of the world, to focus on the world, being acclimated to the flesh is death. But Paul tells us, rather, we need to be acclimated in and to the Spirit, because that's where life is. He said, because the carnal mind, verse 7, is at enmity with God. In other words, it is literally, that word in the Greek is hostile toward God. The fleshly mind, the fleshly desire, is literally hostile toward God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So here's the bottom line, and this is very simple. We are liberated, we are acquitted spiritually. Once you get saved and you're safe. God's Spirit comes to take up residence in you. You become sealed with God's Spirit. The liberator sets you free. You now have a choice in what you do and how you live, how you feel and how you think. We help that choice by yielding to God's Spirit in us. We do that by prayer, connection with God, and through memorizing and learning His Word. So that way, when we are out and we are facing choices and that conflict begins, we strengthen the spiritual and we weakened the physical. So therefore, we need to acclimate our minds to the things of God. And again, we do that through studying and learning and memorizing the Word and applying it as we make those choices, because that is where life is. Because all that you do for God will be in eternity. The book of Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that God is not quick to forget that labor of love which you do for Him and for His people. You know, we're getting ready to have Bible school, vacation Bible school, and this place was crawling with people for the last couple of weeks. And all the work that's been done on this beautiful stage and in the rooms and in the fellowship hall, preparing and getting ready. As we seek to do that, to bring people to God, as we do that ministry, you already, before it's even started, some of you are tired. I get it. And this week is going to be a long, tiring week. But here's the beauty. What you do for the Lord will be blessed for eternity. For instance, the children, even the adults that may hear the gospel and get saved, eternity. The time you spent, the energy you spent, God is not quick to forget that labor of love. He tells us in the gospel, Jesus said that there will be some who, when they enter into heaven, He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your reward." He's going to take the things that we spend on Him and the things that we spend on ourselves, pile them together according to 1 Corinthians, light them on fire, and whatever is left is what lasts. Wood, hay, and stubble will represent the things that are selfish, flesh, and worldly. Gold, jewels, and precious stones will represent the things that are of God. Life and death. What's going to remain? What's going to remain? So we need to be acclimated. As acquitted, liberated people, we need to get used to being free. We need to enjoy being free. Free to say no to sin. Free to choose better. Free to choose righteous things. And we spiritually acclimate ourselves in order to be able to do this by filling our minds and hearts with God's truth. By getting on our knees and praying and seeking God's guidance, God's peace, God's face. By walking with Him and letting Him walk with us. Spiritual acclimation. We need to become acclimated to the things of God. So, because we're acquitted, we're free. We're free. Can you imagine? Put yourself in the place of that young French woman or that young French man back in 1945.
after the Nazis were defeated and their villages and their towns liberated. They were free. I encourage you sometime to read some of the accounts of those who are kept in concentration camps, who survived to be liberated and set free. We don't understand that because we haven't lived through that. And how difficult it was to acclimate themselves to that new world of freedom. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes it's difficult for the believer because it does take effort. It does take work. It takes time. It takes focus to dive into Scripture. It takes focus to read it, to learn it, and to memorize it. But that's how you and I make the most of our acquittal. We begin to live free. Free not to follow the world. Free not to follow the fashions. Free not to follow the herd. Sociologists call it the herd instinct. And it kind of brings to mind a group of cattle. You know, maybe you're going to go eat lunch and get a burger today. I love nothing better than a good hamburger. Amen? Good hamburger. I could sit down. That's one of my favorite things is a good hamburger. When I was a kid, I thought McDonald's hamburgers were good hamburgers. And then my dad took me to a place where I actually got a real hamburger. And I didn't like it at first because it was big and it had vegetables on it. But then as I grew older, that's a good burger. I had to acclimate myself to that. But you know where those good burgers come from? I'm going to ruin your lunch, but you'll get over it. They line the cows up and they take them through and they knock them on the head and kill them and slaughter them. How do they get the cows in that thing? They start with the most dominant animal, usually a bull or one of the cows that others follow, and they lead that cow into that slaughter area. And all the other cows line up and follow that first cow. Can you imagine? Hey, bossy, what are we doing? I don't know. Follow Fred. What's going to happen? What's going on up there? I don't know, but it looks important. Everybody's going there. Yeah. Then you wind up in McDonald's, okay? That's kind of how the world situation is today. We follow whatever is bright, whatever is sparkly, whatever the crowd does. We do it because it's easy. We do it because it's popular. But it's the herd instinct. Where are you going? You've been acquitted. You've been set free. You don't have to do that now. You need to, and I need to acclimate ourselves to the things of the Spirit. Because acclimation to the flesh ultimately leads to separation and death. But acclimation in the Spirit leads to life and eternal reward and blessing. So how do we do this? Man, that's a lot, Pastor. It is difficult. Paul told you back in chapter 7. It's a struggle. That's why the Bible refers to it as spiritual warfare. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, the flesh desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit of God has desires that are against the flesh, and these two are constantly warring with one another. How do we do that? Well, Paul is going to give us the answer. We've got a friend who will go along with us. We got somebody to get on track with us. Look what he says as we pick it up in verse 9. But, I love that word in the Bible. But, this is different. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. In other words, if you're saved, if you've trusted Christ, then God personally, spiritually, took up residence within your life, within your body. Again, Ephesians 1:13, when you believed, you were sealed with God's Spirit. You're not going to lose Him. He's not going to leave. You are sealed. He dwells literally within you. So that changes the picture. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if God's Spirit dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of God is not living in you, you've never gotten saved.
Because the moment you get saved, you can't feel him, you can't see him, you can't experience him. But the moment you placed your faith and trust in Christ, God literally came to indwell in you. And now you're sealed with him. You're saved. And the Bible tells us in John 16 that he becomes your literally called alongside companion. The word Jesus used there is comforter. The Greek word is parakletos. It's a compound word, para, alongside of, kaleo, to call. He's called alongside. He's in you. He's with you. You're not in this alone. Oh, it seems like that sometimes. Seems like sometimes when you surrender to Christ, when you walk with him, you're the only person that's doing it. But God is with you and he never leaves you. No matter how tough it gets, no matter how difficult things are, and even when you struggle with sin and want to turn from him, he will never leave you. That's what it means to be sealed by God's Spirit. That's part of your liberation. That's part of your acquittal. So here's the thing. We've been given a companion, a spiritual accompaniment, as it were. And our companion in our new life is the Spirit of God. And yeah, friends come and go. We get to know people, we spend time with them, and then life tends to send people in different directions. Families set up, they live, and then children move away, parents move away. You make friends, and then maybe you have a falling out. People come, people go. I imagine right now in your life, no matter your age, you don't have the same group of people in your life that you did maybe 10 years ago. But here's the thing. God never leaves. The Spirit of God will never leave you. Once you know Christ, you are saved, safe, and sealed. And as you walk in this world, as you go through the motions, as you do the things, even when you struggle, God is there with you. He is your friend. You have a spiritual accompaniment. And he's there to help. He's been called alongside to walk with you through it. Man, I don't know about you, but that gives me amazing comfort. Our companion in our new life is God himself, the Spirit of God. And because he's with us, we now have a new capability to live in our new life. Let's finish this up. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. In other words, you will now have a new life. You will have a new capability. You will have a new capacity to serve God, to honor God, and to do things which will count for all eternity. The Bible tells us in Romans, as we're going to see later on, Romans chapter 12, that God has given us spiritual gifts and abilities through his Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says the same thing. Different gifts and spiritual abilities. When you got saved, not only did you give the Spirit, but you got abilities to do different things in service for God. God enables you. God empowers you. And he walks with you through it. So yes, Christian life, difficult at times. It's a struggle at times. But let's go back to the beginning. If you're a believer, you've been set free. You've been acquitted. Justified. Free of sin. Now we need to become acclimated to that, spiritually acclimated. We've been liberated. Now we need to live free. Not tangled and tied to the world. And listen, let me go ahead and say this. Not tangled and tied to church tradition or religious tradition. Because there are going to be 16 people who call themselves Christians going to tell you how to live. You go to the Word. I even tell you, I'm preaching this morning. You follow me in Scripture and make sure I'm on target. Don't just take my word. You take his word. Because why? You've been set free. Start filling your mind with the things of God, with the way God has painted morality, with the way God has made truth known. Start filling your mind with that. Oh, but Pastor, what about my opinion? Well, God will listen to it and still tell you to do things His way. Because God is the creator. God knows better. And He's the liberator. And He loves you and wants you to have the best life you can have for Him and through Him. So if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies new life. Yes, these are going to die. These are going to die. You know, you might be very young and vibrant. Hey, that's great. Enjoy it while you can. I went to bed last night and I had to take a pill and put eye drops in. Enjoy it while you can. Because one day, this is going to be gone. It's going to be burned. It's going to be buried. James says we're just given a small short of time, just like a vapor. What's done for the Lord is what will last. So you've been acquitted. You've been set free. Therefore, you and I need to acclimate ourselves to spirituality rather than carnality, flesh. And in order to do that, we have accompaniment. We have a friend. We have a comforter. We have a Spirit of God. We now have a new companion, and because of that, a new capacity to live for the Lord as we yield to Him through obedience to His word. Jesus Himself said in John chapter 8, verse 36, He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." Boom. I love people. Oh, the Bible's hard to understand. No, it's not hard to understand. We just don't accept what it says sometimes. But the reality is, anyone that commits sin is a slave to sin. We saw a couple of weeks ago, whatever you serve is that which you're going to be enslaved to. He said, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son or daughter. The word son there is used in a legal sense, an heir, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Listen, believer, you're free. And as a son and daughter of God, you're also, as we're going to see next time, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ of the riches of eternity in the universe. You're free. So I'll leave you with this thought from Bruce Larson. He says, we have a choice. We can either carry the world on our shoulders, or we can say, Lord, I give up. Here's my life. I give you my world, the whole world. That's what sanctification is. You just finally say, Lord, I give up. I don't want to battle anymore. I want to yield. I want to surrender. Surrender doesn't mean you lose. Surrender means you just stop fighting. And in this case, it means you win. You've been acquitted. Now it's time to reacclimate to the things of the Spirit. And you have an accompaniment, a friend, who will help you do it. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Taking just a moment to put out the world, to set aside distraction, because at the end of the day, in spite of the strugglings and stammerings of a human preacher, at the end of the day, you and I individually are accountable to the message God gives us through His word. What will you do with it this morning? First, do you know Jesus as your Savior? The Bible says all of us have sinned. We all have come short of God's glory. And if we are trying to save ourselves because of that sin, we can't, because everything we touch is stained by that sin, even the good things. Religion can't save us. We've already seen that earlier in the book. That's why Jesus came, to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. When He came because He loves you so deeply and desperately. God took on flesh, lived on this earth, and then they took Him and they crucified Him. God experienced death for you, so that you can defeat death through Him and live. They buried Jesus, but 3 days later he rose again from the dead, and he's alive and in our midst this morning, ready to give salvation to all who would believe. Would you trust him? Go to him and say something like, God, I understand I'm a sinner. I don't understand everything about the Bible, but I understand I'm lost. I'm a sinner. All of us are, have been. And God, the best I know how, I'm going to cast my full faith and confidence in Jesus as my Savior to take me to heaven. I believe that he died for me. He was buried and rose again. And now I'm trusting him, Father, and thank you for saving me. Yes, the moment you do that, you're saved. You have a home in heaven. But this is just the beginning. That's later. This is now. Now begins a journey. Now begins a time. And here's the thing. Now as a believer, God is going to walk life with you. The Spirit of God is now within you. And he gives you wisdom and understanding of his word as you open it. But you got to take that effort. Open his word. Read it. Study with it. Yes, struggle with it. And let God change you and yield to his Spirit. Acclimate yourself to the Spirit. And you will then have a sanctified, victorious life. Yep, struggles come. They'll continue to come. But the deeper you walk with the Lord, the further you walk with him, when those struggles and temptations do come, you'll have the tools and abilities to weather them, to deal with them, and to move on from them. But at the end of the day, it's up to you. Do you want to carry it all on your shoulder? You can. You can walk out of here and do that. Or you can surrender once and for all to Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Father, all the beautiful decorations, the lights that are shining. Father, these are merely shadows of what's awaiting for us in heaven. Living in your light for all eternity, the beauty of your presence. Father, as we approach Vacation Bible School, help us to be able to shine through your word and our faithfulness some of that light to those who come. And may we also be encouraged. Because, Father, we have been acquitted as a believer. We've been set free. We've been forgiven. And, Father, you want us now to acclimate spiritually, to view the world as you view it, to live our lives to the best of our struggling ability as you made them to be lived. And you've given us a companion to walk with us and to help us. And yes, it sometimes carry us. Father, give us the courage to yield as believers to your Spirit through the reading of your word and through prayer so that we might live free. We thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
For additional sermon resources and to find out who we are, visit us online at westconcordchurch.com. Thanks for listening.